This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
This is Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri News Director Jim Smalley.
Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Johnson's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection. Saskatchewan farmers will have above normal warm weather this week to hasten harvest. Agriculture Minister David Meritz is combining his past the three-quarter mark.
Well, as of last Thursday, a report said there was 73% of the crop was harvested, Jim, and I'm sure, even this past few days, a lot of that number has probably moved up significantly. We've had, some pretty good weather lately. Obviously, we had some rain last week in some parts of the province that slowed down the harvest, but I'm sure the farmers are back at it again this week, and the forecast looks really good coming up this week. So hopefully we see that a lot of farmers will wrap it up. I know, down in my part of the world, most of the farmers haven't wrapped up out for the odd slew or things like that, but we're seeing a lot of the farmers in the southern part of the province have wrapped her up.
Tell me about your thoughts on yields. Have you heard anything there?
I've heard some good things, I guess, Jim, I can say. Even, for my own area where there was pockets that were dry, and we all know that, there was areas around the province that were very dry. But, talked to a lot of my friends and neighbors, and they were very surprised with the yields, pleasantly surprised and really surprised or happy with the quality. And I think that's probably a good thing that's going to make it a little better for the folks. Obviously, they're watching the markets and seeing what's happening there, as everybody does, and they'll make those decisions when they deem it's appropriate for them to sell whichever crop they decide to sell at that time.
It appears production is much better than last year because last year had quite a drought.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty well province-wide last year, and this year, obviously not. Even on our own farmland that the young folks farm, we're very happy with the yields, and we know that up in the northern part, and I had the privilege of traveling a good part of the province the last month or so, and a lot of farmers were saying the yields were pretty darn good up in the northern parts, were in some cases the best they've ever seen. So that's good news, and hopefully they get it all off. And obviously there's still a fair amount of canola out there and some cereals as well. But even talking to some of my friends that grow pulses, and we're pleasantly surprised with both the quality and the yields.
Are you expecting a lot to be harvested this week? Because it's really unusually warm, mild, much milder weather than normal.
Yeah, we've had a fantastic fall. We really have. I know even, there's been some frost in some parts of the province, but it was late enough that I'm pretty sure it didn't impact the quality at all, or very, very little, if anything at all. And I think you're going to see this week, if as nice as it is, we'll see a lot of the crop come off. And it really has been a good fall. And obviously everybody now that is wrapped up is praying for some moisture, much needed moisture.
Avian flu, the province has issued a special order as of last week. Just what's the whole concern there?
Well, the concern is we were concerned about the fall migratory birds as well when that started and the impact it might have. And, you've seen it in a few of our commercial facilities in the province. Obviously, we want to make sure we keep a handle on it and keep the transportation, the intricacies of the poultry industry to keep it confined so that we can keep it under control. And through the provincial vet, we've issued that order again, and we're making sure that we're going to protect that industry as best we can.
Yeah, movement restricted until October 21st. Tell me a little bit about the proclamation for this week. It's Biotech Week.
Yeah, actually, it's something we're, very proud of, and it's something we're very committed to. Many of your listeners know that our government does invest in research significantly, and obviously the whole biotech is part of that. And that's really in research in crop development, new varieties, gene editing for disease resistance, insect resistance, and things like that. So, the one that obviously comes to everybody's mind that everybody really knows of is canola that was introduced here and the impact it has had for the farmers in this province and for countries around the world that use canola for. Obviously, canola oil is the best oil you can use. So we just want to make sure that people recognize what this whole biotech means, and it's not a bad thing. It's really a good thing, and obviously improving food quality is all part of this through research, and not only for grains and oilseeds, but for livestock as well, Jim.
Agriculture Minister David Merritt's farm is at Fife Lake. That's about 220 kilometers southwest of Regina.
Back to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM.
This portion is brought to you by Prairie 6-inch Eaves Troughs. An inch makes a big difference. PrairieEavesTroughs.ca and your Prairie Co-op Grow Team. Fueling farms, feeding families. In Cupar, Ituna, Lipton, and Strasbourg. Canada's senior climatologist says southern Saskatchewan can expect excellent harvest weather this week. David Phillips says much of the Saskatchewan grain belt has enjoyed the warmest August and September on record, ensuring late maturing crops ripen before a severe frost.
Jim, it has absolutely been a dream come true. Prayers answered for, particularly for farmers. You know, in the spring it was cool and wet and seeding was late, and there was a lot of talk in May and June about the fact that, wow, we need the harvest to go on much later, if not for even Thanksgiving, and my gosh, even Remembrance Day would be good. And nature has come through. We have seen in Saskatchewan, not everywhere, but a good part of the province, August and September have been the warmest on record. It's hard to break records in Saskatchewan, but when you look over the last 100 years, there's been warmer Augusts and warmer Septembers. When you combine the two together, and of course that's during the harvest time, that has been absolutely off the wall in terms of records. We've never seen anything like that. And we're seeing temperatures this week in parts of Saskatchewan that are going to be close to 30, if not higher. I mean, to get that at the end of September is just almost rarefied air. But that's what's happening. We're seeing a very large high pressure area. It's like a dome that has been around for the last half of the summer from the United States, and it is just pumping warm and sunny air further north. In fact, when you look to the far north, and that's where winter comes, we don't see any winter. Oh, there are flurries up in Ellesmere Island near the North Pole, but across the north, it has been on fire too, and that's where winter comes from. So it has really been much, much delayed. We in Environment Canada count fall as beginning on September 1st. We don't look at the astronomical beginning towards the third week of fall, but it certainly has been very, very warm, sunny. It's been dry. You know, I always wonder if that's an issue for farmers, but certainly for harvest, you don't want to have rain and combines are stuck in muck. You want kind of wide open, sunny, dry, and warm conditions. And that is certainly what nature has delivered. And it looks like it's going forward. I mean, sometimes you get a nice warm day and you think, oh my gosh, it's a one-day wonder. But we're seeing this pattern continuing. And yes, there had been a touch of frost here and there. I don't think there's been really killing frost, but there has been a touch of frost that always comes in sometime in September. So, but there's certainly been no white stuff in terms of snow. And the good news is we just don't think this is going to end when we turn the calendar into October. October is looking like it is just more warm, warm, warm. Now, not July warmth and August warmth. We're talking about how does it compare with other Octobers in the past. And certainly this one looks like it's going to be warmer than normal. Yeah, there'll be frost on the pumpkin. Will we get snow before Remembrance Day? Well, I'm thinking likely. History tells you that you would do that. You would get, 80% of the Octobers. You don't get out of them without having some white stuff. So my sense is that those little frost moments or snow moments would be nothing compared to the kind of fall that we've had, and any little teaser you get probably will be brought back by some warm weather. And when you're seeing nighttime temperatures, it's really amazing how nature is working overtime for the good people in Saskatchewan. We're seeing temperatures, for example, get down to night of a single digit temperatures, and then they rocket right up to the high 20s, and that's remarkable in the sense that the day length is less than the nighttime, so that's working against you. And then, of course, also the sun is lower in the sky, so it's not as intense. So really, nature is working really hard to go from single-digit values up to these very warm temperatures, unseasonable temperatures. In some cases, we see in the next couple of days temperatures that are a dozen degrees warmer than normal. And so my sense is this has really been utopia for farmers. It's really been a blessing. Three-quarters of the harvest is finished. It just doesn't seem that that's going to change over the next. It's going to be the harvest in 2022 with the crop will be in 2022, not 2023. Sometimes when you have an early frost or early snows, well, you just put it off until next year. No, the frost will, or the harvest will be completed this year because nature has cooperated with some pretty good weather. So really, going ahead, I think this fall is going to be absolutely what the doctor ordered, and I think that farmers are got smiles on their faces. They'll be able to, there have been challenges this growing season, but I think certainly the fall harvest will be done in almost splendid, magnificent, almost perfect weather.
David Phillips is a senior climatologist with Environment Canada. Coming up after a couple of breaks, he will discuss the weather outlook for winter.
Time now for Real Agriculture with Sean Haney. Brought to you in part by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamp's Integra Tire in Grenfell. Your locally owned Integra Tire dealers on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This is your RealAgriculture.com update. Bring the energy of Real Ag Radio to your next customer meeting or conference. From your stage, we'll record an episode in person to inform and provide insight on the latest in agriculture. Email advertising at realagriculture.com to learn more about this unique keynote opportunity.
We are down near Barrett, Minnesota, and pleased to be joined by Jody DeYoung-Hughes of the University of Minnesota, talking about planting green, Jody, as farmers in, I would say, more central parts of North America are using this practice. Northern growing areas, it seems to still be rather new when it comes to areas that grow row crops like soybeans and corn. Can you fill us in, maybe just to set the stage on what planting green looks like in this part of the world?
A farmer would put in a cover crop either while his primary crop was maturing and turning brown so sunlight's getting to the ground, or after harvesting a short season crop, and they put down a cover crop. It will die during the winter, but over winter, and then in the spring it starts growing, and you plant your soybeans into it while it's green, so it's planting green.
And that's what happened in this field behind us?
Yes. So in the corn, it was corn before beans, and we couldn't get in there after harvest, so we went in with a drone and put down seed exactly where we wanted it, and then this year we're terminating at different times. We're terminating either a week to 2 weeks before planting, the day of planting, and a week or 2 weeks after, and we're comparing that to the farmer's regular tillage, no rye cover crop at all. And we're using rye because it's the only, almost the only crop in Minnesota that will overwinter.
Okay. What are the reasons for planting green? Like, what are the potential benefits of this?
Well, one, it can capture more carbon. Two, we're looking at it as how much residue or how much biomass, rye biomass, do you need to suffocate out the weeds and maybe do less herbicide passes. Also looking at some of the diseases that go with it, iron deficiency chlorosis and some of the root rots and some of the insects that is it a green bridge over from, rye over into the beans? That one's not quite as important unless you're going to another grass crop like corn. Then, green bridge can be a real issue. And we're looking at keeping the soil covered and building soil health, getting better soil structure. Another thing that it can do is for carbon. If you want to go into the carbon markets, going with planting green or no-till can be very beneficial and you can get paid for it.
Mm-hmm. What about water infiltration? I know we, in many areas, I would say where I come from at least, there's this mentality we need to till in the spring to dry out the soil and warm it up. How does that fit into this idea of planting into a growing rye crop in this example?
Well, rye needs water to grow, and so it's sucking up water from the soil, and not just at your tillage depth, it's wherever the roots are. And, and making that soil easier to traffic or get into the field earlier, because one, it has the roots that are acting like rebar in the soil, and the other thing it's doing is taking up moisture, so it's drying out the soil, so it's easier to drive on without sinking.
Mm-hmm. And you actually have a penetrometer in your hand here. What did we find in this plot when comparing the different treatments?
Well, if you notice, we're right at the line here, and to the right, we have where we have done vertical till and no cover crop. And over to the left, we have where we terminated the cover crop the day of planting. And you can see there's a maturity difference here. And we're still figuring out some of our theories on this is that you know, tillage does dry out the topsoil. And it may have been just one extra stressor on this crop, so it went into early maturing. And this crop, you know, on this side, didn't have that. The other thing that we found that was pretty interesting, even just one, you know, few months with rye in here, is that it's easier to get the soil probe or shovel into the soil that has the rye versus the tilled plots.
So I know some farmers watching this will say, I already have a crop in the ground. I'm a zero tiller. I leave the residue in the soil. How does planting green or planting this cover crop after harvest or just prior to harvest, how does that fit into zero tiller? Or do you see this going into areas that have already been doing zero till? Or is this more of a practice that we could see adopted where we have traditional tillage in row crops?
Well, cover crops can help build the soil structure faster, so you get those benefits of no-till sooner than 4 to 7 years down the line, and I think that's helped more farmers transition into no-till.
This has been your Real Agriculture Update. You can find out more about this issue or many others at realagriculture.avenuenorth.
It's your agri weather forecast on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM farm weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. Sunny today, wind southeast 30, gusting to 50, the high 22, the low 8. Wednesday, sunny, wind southeast 20, the high tomorrow, hotter, 29 degrees, the low 6. Thursday, almost as hot, sunny and a high of 28, the low 8. Friday, partly cloudy, the high 26, the low 8. Saturday, sunny, the high 23, the low 8. Sunday, sunny, the high 23, the low 7. Monday, partly cloudy with a high of 20. Normal high is 16 for this date, the normal low is plus 1. The sun rose at 6:52 this morning. It sets at 6:47 tonight. And around the province, the hot spot is Kindersley at 23 degrees. The cold spot up north, Collins Bay, at 12 degrees. Estevan and Yorkton, both 15. Saskatoon and Swift Current, 22. Weyburn is 16 degrees. Regina, partly cloudy and 19. That's 66 Fahrenheit. Winds are from the south southeast, 32, gusting to 46. Humidity is 37%. The barometer falling, 102.5. Cloudy in Moose Jaw, 21. Winds are from the southeast at 30. Once again, Regina, partly cloudy and 19. That's 66 Fahrenheit.
This spring, apply pre-emergent Edge Microactive Group 3 herbicide from Gowan, Canada, before seeding your canola, peas, or lentils. Maximize yield today and manage resistance tomorrow. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan, Canada.
You're listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers, McDougallAuctions.com, and brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. Environment Canada senior climatologist says forecasting this winter's weather is extremely difficult. David Phillips says the El Niño weather pattern will affect this winter's weather, just like the last two winters. But he says the last two winters were polar opposites, with last winter very cold and the previous winter milder than normal.
Well, I mean, it's really confusing, the winter. We know that we're into another La Niña winter. This is the third in a row, Jim. I mean, we've seen that once before in my lifetime. And you know, I used to get excited by La Niña, El Niño, because it really meant that your forecast was, you know, more accurate. You had a better chance. Your batting average was higher when you had La Niña. La Niña generally means a cooler than normal winter. But you know, the last two La Niñas have been almost polar opposites. Last year it was a cold winter. We saw some pretty cold conditions in terms of what we experienced. We had, for example, in parts of central Saskatchewan, we had over 66 cold days. These were temperatures below minus 20, days with temperatures below minus 20. 47 is the general average for the winter period. But the year before, which was also a La Nina year, you had only 38 of those, you see. So really what we've seen is the last two La Ninas, one has been warmer than normal and the other has been colder than normal. So that really, it's almost as if that doesn't give you a clue as to what it's going to be. The further west you go, it tends to be, works more that you get La Nina, you tend to get a little colder, a little snowier, good for skiing in British Columbia. But by the time you get to Saskatchewan, it's more of a crapshoot. It's more of a flip a coin. So I'm not really that confident in telling you what our winter is going to be like. Hey, this fall is not going to carry on. We're not canceling winter. We've never done that in Saskatchewan. But my sense is one of the best things I think about a fall that goes on, and we know this one's going to go on through October, maybe even early November, is that it makes winter that much shorter. The front half of it is not brutal. So my sense is that things are looking right now, that there's enough warmth in the land and the lake and the air to maybe temper the cold kind of conditions. But hell, there'll be moments that you'll wish you were somewhere else, because it will be so cold. But my gosh, it may very well also be moments of cold, but it may also be short. We will know towards the end of November when our winter models will indicate to us what the winter guess will be as we go forward.
David Phillips is a senior climatologist with Environment Canada.
You're listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director Jim Smalley.
This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Degelmann Industries. Look to Degelmann for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumberyard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. The International Grains Council is expecting world wheat production to reach 792 million tons in 2022-23. That's 10 million tons more than last year and 14 million tons above the prior estimate. Global wheat consumption remain relatively unchanged with an increase in world-ending stocks. Marlena Borsch with Mercantile Consulting is concerned about Canadian rail companies' willingness to move enough grain by increasing labor and car supplies. This year's crop will be 60% larger than the drought-reduced 2021 crop. Borsch notes that CN and CP Rail have not been clear on their readiness for the upcoming months, especially this winter.
The Market Updates with Jim Smalley on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Market Update is brought to you by Freeze Thalmann Lumber. Since 1956, Freeze Thalmann has been your trusted building materials supplier for every type of project. Freeze Thalmann in Regina and Fort Capel. And Nelson GM in Assiniboia and Avonlea. Looking for the perfect vehicle? They'll find a match that exactly fits your agriculture lifestyle. Proudly serving southern Saskatchewan for over 60 years. Grain prices were showing upward movement. Viterra prices for durum increased $18.49 at $417.93. Canola rose $7 at $810.42. One red spring wheat gained $10.10 at $415.32. The rest were unchanged. At Minneapolis, December spring wheat rose 19 cents at 9.50 and a quarter cent a bushel.
It's the Livestock Reports on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn Livestock, 842-4574. Now the latest quotes.
This is the market report for the Weyburn Livestock Exchange for the week of September 27th. Our last regular sale was on September 14th. D1 and D2 cows sold from 93 cents to $1.03. D3 cows sold from 83 cents to 93 cents. Counter cows sold from 60 cents to 70 cents. And good butcher bulls sold from $1.27 to $1.37. We had a pre-sorted yearling sale here on September 12th. 500 to 550-pound steers averaged $2.48 and sold at $2.55. 550 to 600-pound steers averaged $2.48 and sold at $2.54. 600 to 650-pound steers averaged $2.48 and sold at $2.54. 650 to 700-pound steers averaged $2.54. $2.60 and sold up to $2.76. 700 to 800-pound steers averaged $2.60 and sold up to $2.76. 800 to 900-pound steers averaged $2.41 and sold up to $2.58. And steers over 900 pounds averaged $2.23 and sold up to $2.45. Heifers were about 30 cents back from the steers. This has been Stephanie Digg reporting from the Weyburn Livestock Exchange, the market that gets the cattle and the prices too.
And the latest Saskatchewan pork prices, $236.69 per CKG.
This is the Saskatchewan Resource Report on 620 CKRM. Here's Jim Smalley.
Now the Resource Report, brought to you by Second Look Online Auction. Visit 2ndlookonlineauction.com to see what's up for bid. And brought to you by Western Ag Professional Agronomy. If you want to make cropping decisions with confidence, visit growmoreprofit.com. The head of the European Central Bank says the economic outlook is darkening, and she expects business activity to slow substantially in the coming months as high energy and food prices pushed up by the war in Ukraine sap consumer spending power. European Central Bank President Christine Lagarde avoided predicting a recession in her remarks this week to the European Parliament, saying the bank's baseline scenario was subdued economic growth. But she appeared to hedge that by saying that some assumptions in the outlook, such as about the remaining supply of Russian natural gas, have been overridden by events. Lagarde said Russia's invasion of Ukraine continues to cast a shadow over Europe, driving up the energy prices that are dampening consumer spending. Explosions rattled the Baltic Sea before unusual leaks were discovered on two natural gas pipelines running underwater from Russia to Germany. Some European leaders and experts are pointing to possible sabotage during an energy standoff with Russia provoked by the war in Ukraine. The leaks on the Nord Stream 1 and 2 pipeline overshadowed the inauguration Tuesday of a long-awaited pipeline that will bring Norwegian gas to Poland. The Polish Prime Minister called the events an act of sabotage, while his Danish counterpart said she couldn't rule it out. The Nord Stream pipelines aren't bringing gas to Europe amid an energy standoff with Russia, but are still filled with gas. On the markets, the TSX is down 41 points to 18,286. The Dow has fallen 170 points to 29,090. Oil is up $1.11 at $77.82 per barrel. The Canadian dollar is at 72.60 cents U.S. And that's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, tune in to the on-demand Saskatchewan Agriculture Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. I'm Jim Smalley.
You've been listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM. If you missed any of today's broadcast, download the podcast now online at 620CKRM.com. Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, following the 12 o'clock news on your voice for everything ag.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.